Leadership isn't just about strategy. It's about connection. And that's what we explore here on the Tactical Empathy Podcast. I also explore it every week in my newsletter, The E in the Room. With more than 1,000 subscribers already learning how to communicate with confidence and lead with empathy, this is your chance to join in. Head on over to www.erinthorp.ca/resources right now and download a series of free leadership tools and get the newsletter delivered to your inbox. The conversation doesn't end here on the podcast, so make sure you're a part of it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tactical Empathy. I am your host, Erin Thorp. And on today's show, we have Jordan Dillinger joining us. She is an empath, an overthinker, an expert emotional sponge, as she calls herself. And she has, surprisingly, a very similar path to mine, being told that she was too emotional, turned down actually for a leadership role, and has yet found a way to turn her empathy into a strength. Her new book, Congratulations, You Feel Everything, is a no BS guide to embracing empathy without drowning in it. And I'm excited to have this conversation with Jordan. So let's hop on over and hear the discussion. Let's welcome Jordan to the show. Hey, Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for having me.
No problem. In full transparency, folks, we've tried this three times, so we're hoping this is the one that gets us the episode we want. Jordan, please go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself. I've really been looking forward to our conversation. I think we have a lot of shared interests around the topic of empathy.
Absolutely. So in June of 2025, I released the book, Congratulations, You Feel Everything.
Love the title.
I released the book because I went looking for a resource to help me understand kind of what was happening with myself. I was carrying so much and it was becoming taxing. I couldn't find anything that really spoke to my experience. Most advice that I was getting as an empath was be less emotional, or, you know, sometimes they say care even more. And neither of those felt healthy or very realistic. I needed something that acknowledged my empathy as a strength, but also taught me how to use it sustainably. A lot of the resources that exist also feel very clinical. Yeah. Feels like I'm being talked to as a patient. It's very polished and kind of detached from real life. I wanted it to be like honest and positive, as if I was talking to like a friend or a peer. And that gap kind of drove me to write Congratulations, You Feel Everything. It was the resource that I needed, but it was one that will help lead, support, and care deeply, help people lead, support, and care deeply without losing themselves in the process. Mm-hmm. I guess my journey started in human resources, people operations, and then I later transitioned into executive support.
Yeah.
And in both of those spaces, I had a very clear view of how leadership struggles with empathy. In HR, you see like the policies and the performance conversations, they're very disconnected from the human experience. And then in executive support, you have all of the emotional labor going on behind the scenes, and you can see how invisible empathy kind of becomes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, it's interesting because I feel like between your experience and my experience, we have a very similar story from very different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. So I was in the field as an engineer and, you know, had to interact with everyone, but definitely got similar advice, right? Feel less, right. Get a grip, find mm-hmm. game pace, you know, all of those things. So I'd love to start with, I ask almost every guest that's been on the show, I would like to say everyone, but I might have missed one or two. What does empathy mean to you, and how would you describe it? What's your personal working definition?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for me, empathy is the ability to understand and feel what someone is experiencing without losing yourself in it. Mm. So being present without absorbing, listening without rushing to fix, and holding space for someone's emotions without immediately comparing them to your own.
Absolutely.
Love finding it. That difference in saying, yeah. I know, not saying I know exactly how you feel, but I'm here for you while you feel this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to know, I want to pick your brain a little bit about, you know, both perspectives, because you do bring a perspective to this conversation that I don't often get, which is that HR and executive support perspective. So I don't know if it's similar or different from both perspectives, but I would love to know, you know, from that perspective, like, why do you think it's hard for leaders to do this?
That's a great question, for sure. I think empathy is hard for a lot of leaders because they were never taught how to do it.
Yeah.
Most leadership environments reward control, decisiveness, and efficiency, but they don't teach people how to sit with emotions, their own or anyone else's emotions. So leaders get very good at solving problems, but not holding space.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. I often say, I do a lot of work now with engineering students, and I say, you know, like, the skill set you're building in school to solve problems quickly is not going to help you when you get out in the field and you're working with people, because people aren't problems to be fixed quickly.
Absolutely. And I think empathy requires self-awareness as well. And you have to recognize your own discomfort or fear before you can show up for somebody else. So you have to have that inner work that's rare in leadership training, even though it's foundational to leading people well.
Yeah. I want to go back to kind of your origin. So you realized you had this skill, this ability to kind of feel and think into what other people might be going through. But it sounded like there was a time where you might have lost yourself or didn't quite know how to keep that separation and hold space. So tell us a little bit about what that was like. And then how did you build your capacity to be where you're at today?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I go back to this one experience that I had specifically. I was up for a promotion and was turned down and told that I was too emotional.
Been there.
Yeah,
check
too emotional
box
to lead. Yeah.
So I feel like we have had the same life. Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. It was very, very tough. I was going through a lot at that time. And unfortunately there was nothing that I could explain to that gentleman to have him see things differently.
Yeah.
But it was really, you know, fuel. I wanted to use, you know, show that it could be a good thing to be emotional. Of course, there is a time and a place, but there's also a right way and a wrong way. And so I kind of used that to move forward. So I quickly moved out of people operations after that point. Mm-hmm. And when I moved into the executive support realm, I was really excited because I kind of played the empathetic role that my executive didn't have. He wasn't a very empathetic person, but working with, it was a very small team. It was a team of 10 people. Mm. And I was the administrative employee for the whole company. So I'm working with every single person. And it was really exciting because I was able to use that to make a difference for each and every one of those people on that team. And to this day, they still connect with me because they know I'm an ear that's just going to listen, or that I'm going to help them navigate the situations that they're experiencing.
So it sounds like you found a more complementary, you know, role where somebody actually recognized, one, they didn't have this skill set, but two, that you did, and that it was a benefit.
Absolutely. And he, you know, that executive that I had at that time really pushed me to write congratulations, you feel everything, and to share empathy with the world. And oftentimes he'll say, like, I know you're very empathetic, so what do you feel? Like, how do you feel about this? Yeah. To kind of almost like I have a different, what's the word I'm looking for? Just a different perspective on things.
Absolutely.
Different lens.
Absolutely. I had a leader very similarly, didn't encourage me to write the book, although I did write a book, but saw that I did have something different than he had. And we kind of co-created in that space together and leaned on each other for different things, you know, which was very similar. So, okay. I want to go back to the question, and how did you get to where you're at today in terms of, like, with the capacity? Was there specific steps you took? Like, how, how did you go from, you know, feeling everything and kind of losing yourself to now where I can be that ear, I can listen without fixing, I can actually practice empathy in a healthy way?
A lot of trial and error with therapy is what I would love to say. You know, I've had a good handful of therapists, and it's hard. You know, you got to find the right one. But mm-hmm. In the journey, I did create what I like to call the Empath's Emergency Toolkit. And in that toolkit, it really gives you the tools, kind of like quick stop in the moment things, kind of like a grounding technique in some way. Okay. So there's breathing techniques, there's different things like the empath's check-in, where you write down and you just kind of figure out, is this the mind that I'm carrying, or am I carrying someone else's,
right,
you know, their baggage? And sort of like how to navigate the conversations, like, I'm here for you, but maybe this isn't the best time for me. Can I speak with you at another time? Yeah, I guess that's not the best wording for that, but it's I can have this much capacity for you, but I can't take on your breakup. I can't take on your family drama, but here's my advice.
Love that. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, you mentioned a few practices, and I've definitely dabbled in some of those. What would you say are your kind of go-to practices to be able to continue to have this depth of feeling, be able to be present with people and not take it on, so that you can maintain that sort of separation? What are your go-to practices?
I think communication is the first thing that comes to mind. I mm-hmm. am very, very open with, I like to say everybody, but especially those that are closest to me, about what I'm experiencing or how, you know, what is going on. A lot of the techniques I use are just getting it on paper. So even if you're not saying what's going on, not writing the words, just scribbling it on paper as if you're writing the words is just enough to get it out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is such a like an underrated sort of technique. But I think I like I said, identifying where the weight is coming from. Is this your burden from like what you're going through at work, or is this your best friend's dog dying and you're having to kind of carry that weight? And just really understanding like why is it so heavy for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, I will admit it, self-admittedly, I am not a journaler regularly, but I do agree that it is nice to mm-hmm. sometimes just like, yeah, barf it on a page, as I like to say, as vivid yeah. as that is. Okay, I want to explore. I know we didn't prep for this, so, you know, take your time. But I want to explore what writing the book was like for you. How was that process? How has it been since you've published it?
Yeah.
What's
yeah, maybe, I love that question.
What sort of, you know, anything unexpected or different than what you maybe thought it would be like?
I think the one thing is that the things that I thought were going to, that people were going to notice like the least, or the things that I thought were going to be the most, I guess what I thought was going to be the least important ended up being the most important to people. One thing I think that was very impactful was that I was able to share a lot with my family, because a lot of empaths have experiences in their childhood that create this chronic people pleaser, and you're mm-hmm. carrying this weight. So it was a really beautiful way for me to kind of in some ways break the news to my family about, hey, these are the things that kind of weighed on me, and this is the yeah. impact that it's made as an adult, and this is what I have to work through.
Yeah, I agree. Yet another similarity. And now that it's out in the world, what do you want to do with it? What are you working towards, or what's next?
I've spoke with a few, I guess a a few people, I guess, that I've connected with on LinkedIn, mostly people that are connected to like my old executives, or they're in different, I guess, worlds than I am. So they're often like, I don't have empathy, or I'm not a super empathetic person. I'm not very emotionally intelligent. And I would love to kind of create the resource that's on the opposite side of things. Like, how can you develop your empathy? How can you add this into your leadership repertoire and kind of bridge that gap in between the two of being overly empathetic and not being empathetic enough?
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. How can listeners get in touch with you and find out a little bit more about you, locate the book, maybe access some of the resources you've mentioned so far on the podcast?
LinkedIn is a great place. That's where I'm the most active. It's @Jordan Dellinger. Spelled my last name, Dellinger, or jordanfeelseverything.com. And then the book is on Amazon. It's on KDP right now. I believe you have free access with that.
Excellent. We will have all of those links in the show notes. Jordan, before we wrap up this conversation, is there any tip or trick or, you know, invitation you would like to leave our listeners before we end this show?
Absolutely. I think one simple practice that I would want to share with the listeners, it's also something I discuss in my book, is to pause before you respond. It's such a small thing to do, but it's so powerful. So before you react and try to fix or offer advice, take a moment and ask yourself like intentional questions, like, what is this person feeling right now? And what do they need from me in this moment? Do they need understanding or solutions? That pause interrupts the urge to kind of jump straight into problem solving. It helps you lead with curiosity instead of control, because most of the time people don't need the answers right away. They just need to be seen, heard, believed, and understood.
Yeah, as you were offering, you know, the technique of pausing, I, you know, what was going through my head is what, because the question I get most often asked is, how do I do that? You know, and I love what you said about just asking yourself some intentional questions. So even if you have one go-to question, which is, you know, what does this person need? I can see that being really effective. So thank you for sharing that tip. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad, third time's a charm. I'm glad we got this recorded.
Yes.
Folks, head on over to the show notes if you're interested in any of the resources, Jordan's new book, Congratulations, You Feel Everything, or if you want to connect with Jordan on LinkedIn. My contact information is also there. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode has resonated with you, or you want to share Jordan's work with someone in your network, please like and share the episode. And would love to hear how this resonated for you. So thank you, Jordan, for being here. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Erin.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Until next time, please keep practicing tactical empathy.